Los Angeles friendos, join Going In Raw as we go live on stage with Wrestling With Regrets' Brian Zane September 24th at the Nerdist Showroom in L.A. The link to tickets is in the description. Hey friendos, Steve here.
And Lars.
And welcome back to Going In Raw Countout, show where we count things down in the world of wrestling right here at youtube.com/ Steven Larson. Be sure to hit that subscribe button. We're on the road to 182,000 subs. Maybe we're there by now, Larson. If we're there by now, we're going to have a sub party at some point in the future.
Yes. Sandwiches, not submarines.
Well, yeah, submarine sandwiches.
What if you can rent a submarine to have a party in?
Oh, that'd be cool. I'd do that. $50 an hour.
Probably more than that.
For an hour. 2 hours? Anyways, we're also available on the Patreon at patreon.com/ Steven Larson and on the Pro Wrestling Tees, prowrestlingtees.com/ Going In Raw, you can get this shirt.
And this shirt.
Get both these shirts. Very good prices.
Yes, very fair.
You're going to love it. Very fair.
Best value.
Not like some other shirt places, which are very unfair. Very not fair.
Okay. There you go.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Anyway, let's talk about NXT. Larson, this past week we saw Asuka.
Yes.
Vacate her throne, if you will. She vacated her title. Step down from her throne of godliness in NXT.
Yes.
And then she's in negotiations with SmackDown and Raw.
Raw.
She's going to end up on Raw.
And so, of course, I was going through the dirt sheets this morning trying to find some news, and I came across WrestleZone's recap of this week's NXT, and the headline for that was Asuka is the greatest NXT competitor ever.
Asuka does
which,
great
of course,
things.
Got me to thinking about nine other NXT competitors that could right. be called the greatest competitors in NXT history. So from that, the idea of a list was born.
Yeah.
So that's what we're going to do today. Count down the 10 greatest NXT wrestlers ever.
What are criteria, Larson?
Being good.
Yes.
Being good.
Yeah.
Impact.
Impact.
Kayfabe.
Kayfabe impact.
Yes.
Okay.
Same as the list we did last time.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So being good.
Okay.
Good in the ring.
Yeah.
Good in the mic.
Okay.
Impact.
Impact.
What you did to put butts in seats, sell
yes.
merchandise,
yes.
And generally be an ambassador for mm-hmm. the NXT brand.
I like that word.
In a larger sense. And, of course, kayfabe dominance.
Yes.
Win-loss record.
Win-loss record. Days as champion.
Yes.
Because everybody on here was a champion.
Yes.
Because that establishes you as good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At least in the eyes of NXT creative.
Correct. So let's kick this off with number 10.
10.
Sami Zayn.
Now, Sami is only champion for 62 days, but I think it was more his arc leading up to that championship win that really endeared him to the crowd at Full Sail Arena.
Only, I would say, Sami Zayn and one other competitor on this list, which we'll get to a little bit later, had a truly magnificent long-term story arc. And I say long-term. Sami was there like 3 years, wasn't he?
In total, yeah. He won the belt, I think, about a year... About a year and a half after he made his debut.
Oh, he did? Okay, so it was a year and a half. Okay.
And then he got hurt
okay.
in the match against John Cena on Main, and he was out for like half a year, and then he kind of
fluttered back and forth.
Hung around in NXT for a while before finally being brought up full-time to Main.
Yeah.
But anyways, he unsuccessfully tried to win the NXT titles a couple times. He lost in a match against Titus O'Neil and then said that he was on his road to redemption, and that which eventually led to a match against Neville for the NXT title. And he said, if I don't win this match, I will leave NXT.
Mm-hmm.
You know, his nickname is the Underdog from the Underground, and that's very much what his character was in NXT.
Mutant.
Well, no, he just lost.
Oh.
It's rare.
Where does the Underground come from?
But effective. Well, like Underground music. It's oh, like okay. ska stuff, you know?
Ska. This is ska dancing?
Well, it's the skanking. So he is one of the few guys, and it still happens, he can endear himself to the crowd
yeah.
by losing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's a rare thing, but when it's booked well and booked effectively, it can lead to really transcendent, cathartic moments, and that's what it was when he finally won the NXT title. It was a huge moment. And it's great in one respect that NXT wasted zero time in kicking off their next storyline, which eventually get that belt off Sami Zayn
yeah.
by having Kevin Owens come and ruin that moment for him.
Yeah.
But when it happened, I remember it was this his win that got me really into NXT.
Yeah,
I remember
hearing
about it and hearing what a huge deal it was. And even knowing next to nothing about Sami Zayn's build to that title win, you could tell it was a huge moment for himself, for the crowd, everybody involved in NXT. The whole locker room came out to celebrate with him.
It was like a Lex Luger SummerSlam moment.
But he actually won something.
He actually won a belt. Exactly. No, I love Sami Zayn. I think he's great. I think you just summed up everything that all our reasons why he's on this list perfectly.
Good.
Yeah. Number nine.
Nine.
The Ascension. So they were like they're champions for like a year.
When I started watching NXT again, when Sami Zayn won the belt, I think it was mid or late 2014, whenever it was. It was kind of towards the tail end of the Ascension's dominant run in NXT.
I remember being very impressed with them, though.
Yeah,
I was like, man, they've been champions for this long. That's like crazy. That's huge. And they look so cool.
They were huge. They're popular
huge
in NXT.
Popular. People liked them, I think. And then I was stunned, shocked. And stunned when in their first appearance on the main roster, it's like, oh, cool, the Ascension are here. They dropped this horrible promo, completely shooting themselves in the foot about like how crappy all the old tag teams were. I'm like, wait a second, you're a walking homage.
I know.
That's what your thing is.
I know.
And you're saying all these rude things. That's
about
terrible.
The Road Warriors. And-
yeah.
Yeah, it didn't do many
favors.
They
looked like idiots.
Yeah, they did.
And then from there, they were just...
And like their signature win was over the New Age Outlaws, who were well past their prime.
Yeah. Oh, it was terrible.
Yeah, it wasn't very good. But the criteria for this list isn't what they've done on the main roster. It's strictly what they've done in NXT.
Right, but
and as you mentioned... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
The juxtaposition of how bad they were bungled on main roster just magnifies how big I think they were in NXT. And granted, we weren't really watching all that much. Like you said, we sort of started watching towards the tail end of their run. But, you know, the fact that they were champions for 364 days, you know, just shy of a year, is insane.
Yeah, it's a testament to their ability to get over with the NXT crowd. And granted...
Or the lack of ability for NXT to bring in true competition.
That could be.
I don't know.
And that's one maybe kind of demerit that works against the Ascension is that the level of competition they had to face might not have been as stiff as, say, like Revival
mm-hmm.
or DIY.
Yeah. I think if we hadn't brought – so there was kind of like a little mini debate. Or we discussed this anyways. The one thing that I love about DIY and the possibility of maybe having put them on the list instead of the Ascension is that – they're an NXT, seemingly.
Oh, exclusive.
An NXT exclusive. They were so hot, and they never, as of now anyways, and I don't see how they could possibly bring them back together as a team. I mean, they can. You can always
down the road, yeah.
You can always write it that way. But I would love for it never to be that way,
mm-hmm.
simply because if they only ever did NXT, they never could be misused on main.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at the Revival, and granted, the Revival's had injury issues, so they haven't really been...
But their debut was pretty massive. They came out and beat the New Day.
It was really good. But, you know, you look at them, you look at... I mean, I'm not sure the Vaudevillains were ever suited for main, but and then you have the Ascension. But I love that DIY will never see them as anything but brilliant mm-hmm. because they only stayed in NXT. Mm-hmm. And that's the case to be made for them. The Ascension simply held those titles for a year.
Yeah.
And then, like I said, you know, especially from our point of view, it's like, you know, you come in on the tail end of their you know, NXT reign, and they go to main, and it's like, how did you bungle something that seems so no-brainer-ish?
Yeah, we still ask ourselves that question, you know, all the time. Ty mm-hmm. Dillinger, incredibly over in NXT.
Oh, yeah.
Completely unused.
Yeah.
Underused on SmackDown. Bayley.
Yeah.
Huge in NXT. We'll get to that in a bit later.
Mm-hmm.
Completely misused on main.
Yeah. Yeah. Number eight.
Eight.
Bo Dallas. I didn't really watch a lot of Bo Dallas' stuff, but I mean, I do understand that he was hot in NXT.
Yeah.
I remember when they brought him out for like the Rumble 2013
Maybe still when he was in FCW.
Mm-hmm.
He had that brief little feud with Wade Barrett, right?
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah. Yeah, and so it was like, okay, this guy's going to be hot. And then, he was like, he was the man in NXT, held the championship for 261 days.
And even before that, he was a multi-time FCW champion.
Mm-hmm.
So they had high hopes, obviously, for Bo Dallas.
Yeah.
In developmental, and I think he was utilizing something similar to his Bo Leaf character in NXT.
I think he was doing the Bo Leaf,
and he was kind of, I don't want to say X-Pac heat, but it was he was a heel,
mm-hmm.
and he was just getting massive amounts of heat from the crowd. Yeah. But then it just didn't translate on Maine.
Yeah.
Try as he might, and I thought it was funny. He still does good work. Yeah. I like Bo Dallas.
Oh, I love, dude, I'm telling you, I love Bo Dallas. Absolutely bizarre to me that they don't utilize that guy in a significant way. It's the fact that he's basically a henchman at this point.
I know.
Is absolutely insane to me.
If he's going to be a henchman for his brother.
I don't get it. I do not understand. It seems like just such a waste.
I know.
Yeah. Number six.
Seven.
Kevin Owens. We mentioned earlier in the Sami Zayn entry.
Yeah. Kevin Owens held the NXT title for 143 days, which compared to a lot of other reigns isn't that long.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the impact he managed to make in such a short amount of time on the NXT roster. His debut match was against CJ Parker on the same takeover that Sami Zayn won the title. At the end of the show, he attacked his best friend Sami Zayn, launched himself immediately into the NXT title picture. Matter a couple months later, got that belt from Sami Zayn by power bombing him,
by destroying
until
him.
The ref stopped the match.
Yeah.
A few months later, he showed up on Raw to answer John Cena's U.S. Open Challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't wrestle him that night. The following pay per view, he did wrestle him, and while still NXT champion, beat John Cena
and
at a pay per view.
That's the significant aspect of Kevin Owens' reign, is that he brought the NXT championship up to the level of a main roster championship.
Yes, and
that's the significance.
When he first confronted John Cena, he beat him up, powerbombed him, and I think teased lifting up the U.S. title. Didn't. Mm-hmm. Stepped on it.
Yeah.
Instead, lifted up the NXT title.
Yeah.
Saying, as if this is the prize that really matters.
This is the prize that matters.
And his short reign did so much to elevate that belt. But that's what Kevin Owens does to any belt he holds.
Yeah. And ever since then, the NXT title is on par. Whenever they bring somebody up who was NXT champion, look at Shinsuke Nakamura, Finn Balor.
Bobby Roode, eventually.
Bobby Roode, I'm hoping they're going to get to that. Finn Balor, Shinsuke Nakamura, Samoa Joe,
yeah.
They're all immediately launched into...
At least the upper mid-card.
At least the upper mid-card, but there's always the feeling that this guy is going to be a main eventer.
Yep.
Bobby Roode is... It's bizarre what they're doing with him right now. But I'm hoping that this is his Shinsuke Dolph phase right now.
Yeah.
Which will probably, you know, be a Bobby Roode Dolph phase. So anyways, that's the significance of Kevin Owens. He elevated the title to main roster status.
He also had a really good feud with not only Sami Zayn, but also Finn Balor.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Which culminated in the, what's called the Beast in the East, that network special.
Oh, yeah.
Where Finn won the belt off.
Yeah, that was great. Number six.
Six.
Bayley. Now, we went back and forth on which of the three horsewomen really should be
here. Who
held
the NXT women's title, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Charlotte, Sasha Banks. Obviously, Sasha Banks had a hell of a character arc as well, and her transformation to the boss. But I feel like Bayley, especially given that she was there, you know, an extended period of time, like towards the end, especially there, was always like, oh, when's she going to go up? When's she going to go up? She really was, number one, like the perfect anti-Asuka for Asuka to come in and take the belt from.
Mm-hmm.
But also her character arc, like Sami Zayn's, I mentioned this earlier, there was one other person.
Too.
Bayley, her character arc is so ingrained. Same with Sami Zayn, was so ingrained in the NXT fiber, in like the fans and the whole NXT thing, that she was, you know, she's good. I don't know where I was going with that.
Well, I mean, just she managed to establish a connection with the NXT universe that was massive. I mean, we were there in NXT Brooklyn 2, which was ended up being her last match in NXT, mm-hmm. and it was, I mean, I got goosebumps the ovation she got after she lost to Asuka.
Yeah,
because everybody knew that was her last match in NXT. And she's one of those NXT superstars who managed to make such a significant connection to the audience at Full Sail that it's honestly hard to replicate. It's been her, it's been Sammy, and maybe Shinsuke are the three in terms of the connection that wrestler and audience has managed to forge.
Yeah.
It's been so significant.
Yeah. And she was, I mean, straight up a pioneer, man. I mean, her and Sasha Banks, classic matches, a takeover. Brooklyn, they had their Iron Man match.
Yeah.
Another classic. And again, you know, I say that Asuka was sort of the anti-Bayley, but Sasha was kind of as well, you know. And so she was a character who so in such a simple manner was able to be the counter to these other great characters. And she was the crowd. She was the fans.
Yeah.
You know, that was their avatar. That was their representative right there.
Yeah.
So, and yeah, she was champion 224 days, and she really held down the brand, the NXT brand, during that time.
Yeah. And she held down the women's division while Asuka starred her path to her massive title reign and undefeated streak.
Looking forward to seeing those two together again. They're both on, you know, Raw.
Yeah.
Asuka's probably going to be on Raw.
Yeah.
Number five.
Five.
Neville.
So he is a two-time tag champion, once with Corey Graves, and also held the NXT title for 287 days up until Finn's reign. That was the longest NXT title reign in the history of the belt.
Yeah.
So he has the second longest reign still.
Mm-hmm.
As we've seen in his tenure on 205 Live, great character work.
Yeah.
Only got hints of that. Sorry.
It's okay.
Only got hints of that. In NXT.
Yeah, barely even hints of that in NXT.
But he still put on spectacular matches.
Well, yeah, I mean, he was the best wrestler, man. I mean, he was, man, those moves. Like, Neville, even before, like, his great character work, was one of those guys who I could just watch. And I do remember watching, like, a takeover with him on it. I don't know which one it was. Maybe it was, who did Sammy win the belt from? Was it Neville?
Yeah,
it was Neville. I think it was probably that match when Sammy won the title. And watching that and understanding, whoa, this is where, like, real wrestling is happening. Like, who is this Neville guy? Mm-hmm. Like, he's flying all over the place doing crazy moves. I've never seen it. And I didn't care who he was. I didn't care what his character was. Now I totally do because he's amazing. But, like, you add that to his amazing wrestling. He was, like, the dude who, oh, I'll watch his match. I don't care if he has no personality. I'll watch his matches.
Yeah.
Now it's like, man, he is the personality that I watch.
I know.
But yeah, like you said, you know, until Finn Balor, longest reigning NXT champ, really held down the fort for a very long time and a very seminal time for NXT.
Yes, it was right before NXT really started to blow up.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Number four.
Four.
Paige.
Before there was Asuka in NXT, Paige dominated the women's division. She was champ for 274 days and then vacated the belt when she moved up to Maine and beat AJ Lee for the Divas Championship on her first night on Raw.
She referred to herself as the anti-diva. She was really the turning point in NXT for the women's revolution. She was the one who, like, just before the Four Horsewomen, or around, like, around their genesis anyways, she was the one holding down the fort there, being the person who isn't, look, I'm not a model. I'm not, like, you know, this weird, like, lingerie-wearing, you know, person who, like, Vince McMahon's going to, you know, be lecherous around. We're not doing that anymore. You know, now things are different. I'm the anti-diva. I'm anti all that.
Yeah, she, first and foremost, she is a wrestler.
Yeah, exactly. She grew up with that stuff. Her whole family just comes from a family of wrestlers.
Yep.
Number three.
Three.
Shinsuke Nakamura. Like you said earlier, very few wrestlers connected with the NXT crowd the way Shinsuke has.
Let me ask you something.
Yes.
When we were at NXT Brooklyn 2, what percentage of the audience were wearing Strong Style shirts?
What percentage is more than 100%?
Well, it wasn't quite that much, but I would say about somewhere between 30 and 40%.
Yeah, one out of every, like,
three and a half people.
Exactly.
We're wearing a Shinsuke Nakamura shirt.
Right.
I don't think, at least in my time watching NXT, there has been a more popular wrestler in NXT than Shinsuke Nakamura was.
Well, you go back to his debut match against Sami Zayn, and it was, I didn't know anything about him. I saw the same thing that I think a lot of other people saw, just that, like, shaky iPhone video that he said in his announcement that I'm here or whatever, and he wants to fight Sami Zayn. And then he came out with that entrance, and I was blown away. I was like, I don't know what this is, but it's amazing, and I'm buying in to everything I'm seeing. And then I saw his actual match with Sami Zayn, which to this day is probably still his best match that he's had.
In WWE, yeah.
In WWE total. And it was absolutely amazing. And then he comes in, and the people just, they just want to be a part of Shinsuke Nakamura. He held down the brand during a very, very important time, the post-Finn Balor era. Had an amazing feud with Samoa Joe, just really fantastic. And that's when they were doing stuff like having title changes on house shows, all that kind of stuff, or on Yeah.
It was like on Joe, their tour. Joe won the belt during a live event. Yeah.
Yeah. And so just, I mean, it's, you know, understanding now his history in New Japan, you totally get it. You understand it, you know. But
at the time, not knowing really of his work in New Japan and seeing mm-hmm. him for the first time and just the immense amount of charisma that he projects through your television screen.
Yeah.
Or even more so when you're live there in person.
Yeah.
It's incredible. It's hard to not get involved in what he's doing in the ring.
Yeah.
When he projects that level of charisma. He had the NXT title twice, combined 149 days. But I mean, the length of the reign is just a fraction of the impact he made during his time in NXT.
Yeah. Number two. Finn Balor, the longest reigning NXT champion.
But I think more importantly than that, he was the man who held down the men's division, held the fort when NXT really made the transition from having all their shows at Full Sail mm-hmm. to start having takeovers in arenas.
Yeah.
He was champ during the transition from that. Had a great feud with Kevin Owens, had a great feud with Samoa Joe.
Mm-hmm.
I think he is the most prominent face on the NXT book that just came out.
He's front and center. Yeah, he's like Mr. NXT. Yeah, I mean, you just said everything. Again, there is that period of time starting from around Kevin Owens to Bobby Roode when those champions were nothing but a high quality champions. They were all main eventers. On Raw, they could be main eventers on Raw and SmackDown.
Which we saw with him, because within a matter of a month of being called to main, he was the first Universal Champion.
Right, exactly, yeah. And so you had these like huge, already polished, already ready for prime time guys as the anchors for NXT to make people understand that this isn't just developmental. This is its own thing. And you see that. These days in the different style of presentation, different style of booking, different style of storytelling. And if it wasn't for a guy like Finn Balor, who held it for, you know, 293 days, he was the man for probably the most important period of time for NXT.
Definitely. And I would say also, too, he brought a level of theatrics I don't recall seeing in NXT before.
Right,
his demon persona, that entrance, mm-hmm. just added a whole new element to the NXT product.
Yeah.
And that only helped catapult him to further popularity because people really like that entrance. I doesn't do much for me, but I know a lot of people really like it.
A lot of people really love it. I love the entrance. I think it's fantastic. I don't know about the weird belt things from the head, though.
Yeah, that's not good.
Yeah, I've kind of been iffy on that one. But yeah, Finn Balor, he's really great. Number one. Asuka.
Yeah, it's Asuka.
It's Asuka. I mean, when you reference a Goldberg streak with somebody,
you could argue pretty easily that she's the greatest champion in all of WWE in the last 20 years.
Oh, yeah. I know.
You could argue that very easily.
I think so. I mean, she's run through. The closest anybody ever got to beating her. And again, this list is partially based on kayfabe.
Yes.
Is, you know, Ember Moon, because Asuka had to, like, drag a ref in front mm-hmm. of her once. Like, that happened. She kicked out of... The only person who ever came close to beating her, Ember Moon. Although I don't remember much about the Bayley matches with Asuka.
The second one, I didn't really feel like that outcome was in doubt.
Okay.
The one we were there for.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, you know, from day one in NXT, she was exciting. And on her last day in NXT, she was exciting. Mm-hmm. It's been absolutely amazing to watch. Every time that now iconic music hits, and she comes out dancing and with that weird mask and
awesome
her crazy
coat.
Robe.
Yeah, I know.
It's coat or whatever it is. She is magnetic. She is amazing to watch. We've been lucky enough to be front row for Asuka matches, and they're fantastic. Seeing her live, seeing her personality just kill the entire crowd, so much fun to watch.
Yeah.
Seeing her concuss people is great. Kicking the crap out of people's heads. I know. Fantastic.
She held the NXT women's title for 523 days.
Yep. And she's about to clear out the women's division on Raw.
Probably SmackDown at some point, too.
Probably.
It'd be great if it won't happen. If she went to Raw, cleared out that division, held that belt. It's whenever the SmackDown, still with the Raw women's belt.
I know.
Cleared out that division.
It would be so much fun.
Hold both the belts.
Do you think Triple H is having anxiety right now?
About how Vince is going to bungle this whole thing?
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be great. Have her lose on her debut.
Dead.
Then Triple H pedigrees Vince.
There you go.
I'm taking over this company now.
You retired, Vince.
You retired. Let us know what you guys think in the comments. We'll probably miss somebody. Don't say Ty Dillinger.
Oh, yeah. Ty should have been 10.
No.
It's been fitting.
Number 10. Yeah, okay. There you go. Anyway, until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.